place today. Pastor Randy asked slash told me that I was going to be sharing with you, and it's an honor. I have a lot to say, and we've got a short amount of time, but we've been talking about why church. The Lord put it on Pastor Randy's heart to really just dive into why church. And my topic this week is the purpose of the church. And I think if I was to sit down with any of you, or we could go anywhere else and start asking people, what is the purpose of the church? We probably all have an idea of what we think that is. But the more I begin to study and the more I begin to research this out, I realize that most of my ideas on the purpose of the church were really secondary to what God's asking of us. We're just come right out the gate and say it. The purpose of the church is to alert people to the universal reign of God in Christ Jesus. Let me say that one more time. This is a game changer. The purpose of the church is to alert people to the universal reign of God in Christ Jesus. I think first you need to understand the church is not this building that we're setting in. The church is you, the church is me, the church is we. And our job, our purpose is to alert people to the universal reign of Christ Jesus. Isaiah addresses it in Isaiah 52, verse 7. He says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" I think it's important that we recognize, if you just said, "What's the purpose of a church?" I'm like, to lead people to Christ. Okay, yes, that's secondary. Well, it's for church growth, okay, also secondary. It's so that people can come together and join life groups. Important, but also secondary. The purpose of the church is to declare who God is. And what's irreversible, non-negotiable fact at work here is God reigns whether no one on this planet acknowledges it. Like, wrap your mind around that for a second. He's going to reign even if you get up and walk out of here offended. He's going to reign if you decide I'm turning my back on him. He reigns regardless of what happens in our government, what happens in society. God reigns. That is an irreversible fact. So our job, our purpose is to alert people to this fact. Now, the hard part is us. Let's be real. If our job is just to alert people that God reigns, the hard part is we want to do it our way. Okay, maybe you're a better person than me, but I like to have control a little bit sometimes. And y'all can say, not me, okay, whatever. Lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. We like to be in control. We like to be well, that's fine, but we just don't do it like that. And when it comes within the structure of our church, we're like, I just don't know that they're a good fit. Maybe the church down the road would be, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Bless you. We want to be in control. We like things to look a certain way and feel a certain way. And the reality is we can get so caught up in stuff that is secondary, we miss out what's the most important, and that's just declaring that God reigns. So how do we do that? No, don't misunderstand me. Do not walk out here and go, good, it's a free-for-all. No, there needs to be rules. There has to be things set in place. That's very biblical. Accountability is very biblical. But how do we, you and me, operate in life doing exactly what God's asking us to do and declaring that Jesus reigns? The more I've studied it, the more I've looked at it, I think it's twofold. I think the first thing is we announce it. We declare it. We tell people. We do that as we gather together and we worship together. You can do that in preaching and teaching. You can do that in life groups. You can do that in digging deep. You can do it on Wednesday nights in youth. You can do it in a lot of ways. How about this? You can do it on your social media. Some of y'all loving Jesus a lot. Then you get on there and you're politically ranting. It's wow, that just doesn't line up. I just don't understand. If that hurts your feelings, I'm going to sleep just fine tonight. We are called to announce, to declare that God reigns. The beautiful part of that doesn't mean we have to have it all figured out. It doesn't mean that we've arrived. On the contrary, we all have work. We're all works in progress. If you're I'm pretty figured out. Oh, bless. We want to pray with you afterwards. We're all works in progress. So it's to declare, it's to tell people. But then the second part goes right with the first, We demonstrate what the reign of God looks like. How many of y'all know people who talk a big game, but their actions don't follow up? I'm that person sometimes, y'all. I want to eat healthy. I go with my healthy friends and eat a salad that I hit Whataburger on the way home. This is the only service I told anybody that. That's a true story, though. Our actions, y'all, have to line up with our words. If you're going to declare God reigns, then your actions have to say, this is what that looks like. So if you think about this with me for a minute, when God's reign is complete and visible to everyone, there's no denying it, what will that look like? Will that be a reign of love and mercy and justice and peace and joy? And if your answer to that question is yes, then it's only, the only thing you can do is now go act that out. Be that now. To a lost and broken and a hurting world, be the joy, the love, the peace, the patience, the forgiving. Show people what is to come and what that looks like here in the midst of this disorder. Churches argue all the time on the focus of what the purpose of the church is. Well, the purpose of the church is discipleship. That's important, but that's not the primary purpose. Well, the purpose of the church then is it's salvation. Well, that's important, but that's not it. It's small groups. It's this. No, we can argue, but if we can come back to the fact that that's an irrelevant argument, the purpose of the church is to declare and then to demonstrate, all those things are going to happen. Discipleship will happen. Okay? Lives will be, people will give their lives to Christ. There will be healings. There will be miracles. There will be great things happen if we focus where we're supposed to focus. Imagine with me that the world as we know it, Jesus has come and everything is regenerated to its original intent. Jesus has come. Everything's perfect. What is that going to be like? That's going to be like the greatest blockbuster movie of all time, right? Here's the trick. You, me, we're called to be the trailer of that. One of my favorite things, here's a little fun side note. One of my favorite things is to go watch movies, okay? Now, there's not always a lot of good movies out, so I don't get to go as often as I like. But there's a tradition in our family that every Christmas night, after we've done all the Christmas stuff, we take our kids and go. Now, I learned something at Thanksgiving this year that nobody offered to give me this information. Those of you who've raised kids and you got kids in college, thanks a lot for not the heads up. But I thought when my son would go away to Mississippi, why Mississippi? I have no idea. He'd go away to Mississippi, go to college, and when he came home Thanksgiving, he was gonna wanna spend all his time with me and his daddy. Thanks for that heads up. He dropped off his laundry, grabbed some money, and we saw him when it was time to eat. And I was like, that ain't happening at Christmas. So I told Phil, I said, okay, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? I said, we gotta kidnap our kids. We have to kidnap them and take them somewhere, make them think it's a vacation, because I'm paying way too much money to do his laundry. So we decided the day after Christmas, instead of going to Ohio to see Phil's family, we were going to take the kids and just leave town, and it was this great plan. Well, so then they both now have a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and they're like, you're taking us away, whatever. So we're like, you can bring Peyton and Jake with us. So Phil and I paid for them to all go on a date, and we got to, like, third wheel it, you know? And they looked at us like, glad you're here. And I'm like, I bet you are. You're broke. Hello. So we're sitting in the movie theater, and my favorite part about the movies is the trailer, right? And so the first trailer comes up, and it was so awesome, and I was just like, yes. And I turn to my kids, and I'm like, I'm going to watch that. And they both look at me like, okay. So then the next trailer is this, like, really intense, like, this movie that it's, like, all these plot twists and stuff, and I'm, like, holding on. I'm already, it's just the trailer. And I'm, like, excited, and I'm gripped. My popcorn's shaking, you know, that $97 bucket of popcorn that we buy. It's shaking, and I'm holding on, and I turn when the trailer's over, and I look down, and all five of those jokers, Phil included, are looking at me. And I was like, I'm going to watch that. And they were all like, I mean, like, even Jake and Peyton, I'm like, You don't know me. What are you looking at me for? Afterwards, Justice tells me, we told him, watch my mom. She loves trailers. I was like, great. But the truth is, let's be real. When you see a good trailer, you want to see that movie. Your life, my life, our lives should be the trailer. When people go, look, I've done my share of church, folks. I've done my share of church. When they see your life, when they see my life, they should say, I want whatever that is. I want that experience. I want that encounter. I want to see God that way. And you don't even have to have it all figured out. You just have to declare and then walk it out. And that's so rad, because then in our journey, as we're trying to figure it out, the Lord is continually moving in our lives. Jump over to Matthew chapter 16. As you're going there, I want to set this up. Jesus is talking to his disciples. When I picture Jesus, I picture this happy, like he is so funny. He's got all the best puns. He's just the best. But this, the atmosphere here has changed a little bit. And he's sitting with the disciples, and he's talking to them about the fact that he's about to have to die. He's going to die, and he's going to come again. And then he follows it with a command that I need you to take up your cross and follow me. Very weighted conversation. We're going to pick up in verse 13. It says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is looking at him, he's like, what's up? What are people saying? Well, they're saying this, they're saying this. And it's almost like he instinctively leans in and goes, that's great. Who do you say that I am? Y'all, he's still leaning in and looking at you and I and going, the world says a lot of things about me. Who do you say that I am? Peter, who was the biggest hot mess of the group, we would have been best friends. He later on, like this is an amazing moment. He looks at him and says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. He later on denies him, cuts a dude's ear off. We know God's not done with Peter, just like he's not done with us. And Jesus looks at him and he's like, that right there, that's what I'm going to build my church on. People declaring who I am. And he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's he saying right there? He's saying this. It's my church. You, me, we are his church. How do you know it's his church? The gates of hell will not prevail. What's that mean? The hell doesn't win. Now we can take that out of context and go, well, but guess what? That doesn't mean bad things don't happen. That doesn't mean that there's not hardships. That doesn't mean that there's not kids that lose their mind, mom and dad, amen? That doesn't mean that there's not struggles in marriage, that there's not struggles in finances, that there's not loss. It doesn't mean that. It's about when life doesn't go as planned, do you and I still declare our God reigns? I am having to learn, still learning, that even when life is not good, God is. That is how we know that through the struggle, we're alerting people that God reigns. That being said, if hell is winning in your church, you mean Lone Star Cowboy Church? No, in your church, in you. If hell is winning in your life, in my life, we're not building his church. We're building our church, and we're just putting his name right on it. Why does stuff keep going this way? Have you got him in the center? Are you declaring that he is Lord? Are you looking at the truth of what his word says? Or are you basing your life off circumstances? So we must ask ourselves, are we loose gatherings of bricks, independent stones who happen to show up at the same location every week? For some of you, bi-weekly, once a month, Christmas. And we like it, we enjoy it, but we fail to operate in the power and the authority given to us by God. The moment you accept him for who he is, Scripture is very clear. That power becomes yours. That authority becomes yours. Or are we a bonded wall of bricks connected with the mortar of Jesus' love and faithfulness that prevents the gates of hell from prevailing? Listen, you're the church, I'm the church, but we need each other. And we're going through some stuff in life. We don't need to do it by ourselves. That's why we come here. That's why we come together and go, look, my life, your life together, that mortar of who Jesus is holding us together, and ain't no devil in hell gonna stop what God's doing. If you're anything like me, it's easy to blame it on culture. Well, our world's falling apart. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Guys, the culture's not the problem. Our culture has been consistent. The culture is being run by a God of this age. The problem is not society. The problem is that we are not effectively declaring that our God reigns. One of my favorite authors and preachers of all time, Brennan Manning, wrote a book called Ragamuffin Gospel. If you're a reader, I highly recommend it. But he was quoted as saying, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out these doors, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. That's why there's division in our church. That's why we struggle in our church. The culture is ruling our church. Some of us, we're letting the culture rule our life. We're letting the world define who we are. Our background is ruling our church. Well, it's always been that way. Maybe things change. God doesn't, but things change. Our political view, got quiet there. Money is ruling our church. You may have all the money in the world, but don't you dare let that money have you. Amen. We have to let Jesus rule his church. And sometimes it's easy to come together because, you know, we're all people and we're going to make mistakes and we're going to fail. And it's easy to come in here with our junk and get offended by other people. Well, I can't believe she said that. I can't believe Pastor Randy let a woman up in that pulpit. I can't believe blah, blah, blah. Guess what? We get all flustered up in our offense. Well, I just don't know I can worship there anymore. Look, I'm not going to try to keep you here, but you need to be in church. Say, well, I am the church. You said I'm the church. I don't need church. We need each other. Look, no one in the world dealt with more offense from the church than Jesus, and he kept showing up. Thank you, Lord, he showed up here today. Amen? It's all about Jesus. It's always, always been about Jesus. But you can't declare or demonstrate who he is if you don't know that for yourself. If all we know is, well, he's the Son of God, he died on the cross for our sins. What else is he? Do you know who he is through your struggles? Do you know who he is for you as a parent? Do you know who he is for you when business isn't going well, when life isn't going well? One of my favorite gospel songs of all time, I asked Josh and the worship team if they would sing it. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to the words of who Jesus is. So once we know, we can go declare. Amen.
I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. When I am the shepherd, I am the door. I am the good news for the bound and the poor. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin.
That's not lip service. That's not just, I hope that's who he is. That is who the word declares and promises us that he is, in fact. He is your peace. He is your joy. He is your ever-present help in time of need. He is your future. You can leave your past behind. He is the healing to the broken. He's the restorer of dreams. Somebody needs to hear that right now. You've let go of some dreams, and the Lord says, I gave that to you. I want to restore that in you. Grab a hold of that. I want you to bow your heads with me all across this room. If you're in here right now and you can say, you know what? I've not only not declared, I've not demonstrated it with my life. The most important decision you will ever make is to give, surrender your life to Christ. If you're in here and you've been doing it by yourself and you're letting the world standards define you and you know it's time that you surrender, we want to pray with you. You're not in this alone. Just like those babies, we're dedicating them, and we are committed to lock arms with mom and dad as they go through this. We're committed to lock arms with you. If you're in here right now and you can say, yeah, that's me, I need to surrender my life to Christ, will you raise your hand? Can we pray with you? Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up all across this room so we can put Bibles in them. That's awesome. All over here, awesome. Right over here. Awesome. The biggest, most powerful thing you could ever do is surrender your life to Christ. If you raised your hand, can you look up at me real quick? Can we pray with you? This is nothing to be ashamed of, embarrassed. Who cares what anybody thinks after what is about to happen in your life? Amen? Come on forward. I want to pray with you. You guys give him a hand. Awesome. Thank you. If you raised your hand, we want to pray with you. Hi. That's big stuff right here. Making of world changers. And how cool. He's willing to meet us right where we're at. Look, I don't know you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But I do know this, nothing before this moment matters anymore. Okay, this isn't a magic prayer, nothing fancy, weird's gonna happen. But what we're gonna do, the Bible says, when we believe with our mouth and we confess with our mouth that He is, believe with our heart, confess with our mouth that He is Jesus, we're gonna accept Him into our life. And look at me, babe, it's a game changer. Everything changes. Do you understand? Everything changes. Circumstances in the moment may not change instantly, but you're not going at it alone anymore. Now we get to walk through this and go, He is, therefore I am. Will you guys pray with me? Repeat after me. You guys, I'm going to ask that you just join us in prayer. Let's repeat it. Repeat, everybody repeat after me, and let's do this, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I believe it. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse my heart, renew my mind, enter into my life, and thank you, Jesus. From this day forward, my life changes. My life for you. You hold my world. I trust you. I will declare it to the world. I will demonstrate it. Help me, though, to know I can't do it by myself. Help me to stay in church. Help me to get just into your word. Help me to pray. Help me to seek you. I love you so much. I give my life to you, Jesus. In your precious name. Amen. Hey, we get to spend eternity in heaven together, and that's pretty rad. Love you guys. I know you're like, you don't know me. I love you. And we've got a team over here. They want to pray with you. Just get some information. And look, don't let it stop here. Don't let this be the end. I don't know what's going on, but God's not done with you. The best is yet to come. Do you hear me? What's your name?
Wyatt.
Trust him. He's going to flip it all upside down. Trust him. You hear me? You trust him. You're going to be the man he's called you to be, and you're going to be able to lead like you've never seen anybody lead. You hear me? You believe that? You believe that? You guys can go right over here to them. The rest of you, I need you to just stay seated for a second because we're going to do a public declaration. Maybe you're like, yeah, I got it. I got the Jesus thing going on. But if you're anything like me, you don't always declare it like you need to. Or we like to hide in that justification of feeling sorry for ourselves. We make excuses all day, but I'm going to tell you something. That should be common. Where we go, the Holy Spirit goes. We are the church. You walk up into Starbucks, church is happening. You walk into Kroger, church is happening. Pray God will bring an HEB here so church can happen there too. Somebody. In your workplace, in your home, on your Facebook. If you say, you know what, you're right. I need to do a better job of decreeing, declaring, and demonstrating. I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet with me. What if we did it, y'all? What if we didn't get caught up in the fact that somebody had issues that we didn't know what to do with? What if they worshiped a different God? What if they were a different political party than we are? What if they identify different than we do? Well, they're going to go to hell. Well, how about this? Instead of beating them down with they're going to hell, be the trailer of who Jesus is and let them want to watch and run after what you're doing. Amen? It's a whole lot easier to love people than it is to hate them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every man, woman, and child in this room. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose that far surpasses anything they could ever come up with on their own. God, I pray that as we walk through the doors of this building and go be your church, that would be overwhelmed by the understanding of who you are, that you reign, and that's all that matters. People's lives will be changed, salvations will happen, healings will take place, marriages will be restored, but because you reign and we demonstrate that in our life, we give you glory for it. You're a good God, you're faithful, and you're just. Thank you for letting us in our inadequacies and imperfections to be your hands and feet. We love you. We glorify you in your precious name. Amen. Hey, we got a prayer team up front. They want to pray with you. If you have any needs, please come talk to them. The rest of you are dismissed. If you're going to stick around for the student auction and buy yourself some work, we love you for it. Y'all have a wonderful week.